Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I'm the businesswoman. I have two companies. The first, Arise by BNP, which is a speakers bureau and PR company. And secondly, The Soul of a Woman, that caters to women and children in domestic abuse situations. I have three books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And the second, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And the third book, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. Tonight I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter, who's a businesswoman and speaker. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. I am. Good evening, everyone. As Val said, I'm a businesswoman and speaker, and I thank you for joining us.
Tonight I have with me a very good friend. We go way back, Miss Angela Alexander. She's a businesswoman, an author, a speaker, and I tell you, this young lady has gone through some tremendous battles, but she is standing strong. She's the author of the book, Miracles in Action, and she's going to share her story with us and tell us how she turned pain into power and grief into peace. Angela, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
It has been a long time. When you connected with me on Facebook, I was like, oh, Angela. And, you know, that's one thing about Facebook. It gives you blasts from your past. And it's been about almost 10 years I've known you.
Yes, yes, it has been.
And I see you have been busy. You have your product page. You have some products you're in, key insights and exercises to uncovering your miracles.
Yes. I'm excited to share them all with you tonight.
Oh, excellent. Well, who is Angela Alexander? You have the floor, my dear friend.
Well, Angela Alexander is just an walking in her obedience. God gave me this absolutely fascinating supernatural testimony, and all he asked me to do was tell somebody. And it took me completely out of my comfort zone. Because if anybody had known me prior to this, they would say, oh, no, not Angela. She is not speaking in front of anybody, because I'm really, really shy. But I say when I speak, that's my that's my alter ego speaking. And because normally if you see me in a room, I'm just a quiet girl, you know, just observing everybody. But God put me out front because he gave me something to talk about. And I'm delighted to share my testimony, and it is. On April 1st, now this is like 11 years ago, so April 1st, April Fool's Day, 2000, I was in Japan on military duty. I was in the Air Force as a reservist. And while I was there, my husband and my four children were driving down the highway, and a car cut them off. Our truck hit the center divider, and upon impact, everyone was knocked unconscious. Then our truck went backwards across the highway and fell 25 feet below, landed upside down on top of two other parked vehicles with people inside those cars. Now, can you imagine just sitting in your car and a truck just falls on your engine? That's what happened. Now, I'm in Japan on military duty, and I'm working with a group of people, and my lieutenant, Mavechi, he came up to this group, and he says, Alexander, I need to speak with you. Well, immediately, my guards went up because it was April Fool's weekend, and, you know, we didn't know who was trying to trick who about what. And
right.
But he was very serious, and we started walking and talking about nothing, and we got to the door of this small office. And inside was a man and this other lady from my unit. And the man began nervously shaking physically, holding this paperwork from the Red Cross. And he said, Angela, your family has been in a car accident. And Valerie, at that point, I knew this was no April Fool's joke. Mm-hmm. He said, your husband, Suri, he's in the hospital, but he's okay. Your daughter, Angela, she's in the hospital, but she's okay. Your daughter, Angelina, she's in the hospital, but she's okay. But your 2 8-year-old sons, Maurice and Roger, they didn't make it. And instantly, as if nobody else was in the room but God and I recalled this prayer my children said before going to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I don't know, maybe because I needed to hear from my sons so badly, I felt in my heart as if I heard them say, "No, Mommy, that man is wrong. We prayed the Lord our soul to take. We did make it. We're here with Jesus." I'm telling you, God was sending me so much love and so much peace. There was no room for pain. And the people in the room were watching closely and waiting for my world to turn upside down. And instead, they witnessed my world still in alignment with the one we call our Heavenly Father, our Prince of Peace, our Comforter and our Provider, the Almighty God. And I'm telling you, God just gave me instantaneous healing at that moment. Because if you had asked me just the day before, and I have said this many times, somebody would say, you know, the question, what would you do if something happened to your children? I said it. I said, I'd go crazy. You have to lock me up, just hook up the IV because I'll be too through. But praise God, he had another purpose and a plan for my life, and I didn't have time to go crazy. And the next day, I was on that 10-hour-plus plane ride back to Los Angeles. And in the midst of my storm, I first praised God that my whole family wasn't taken away. I praised God that Maurice and Roger died instantly. And that's hard to even say today. But I praise God that they died instantly because absent with the body is present with the Lord. I praise God that they weren't suffering, hooked up to a life machine, only waiting for me to come home, then to pass away. I praise God for the little things because when you do, when you praise God in the midst of your storm, he has a supernatural way of multiplying and magnifying those small prayers into huge testimonies. And that's what God did for me. And when I got home, my husband was still in the hospital. And my daughter, Angela, she needed about 10 staples in her left knee. And my daughter, my other daughter, Angelina, she wore a shoulder brace for about 2 hours. So physically, my girls were fine. Emotionally, they were just messed up. I mean, they was mad at me for praising God. They was mad at God for their son, for their brothers passing away. They had survivor's guilt. They couldn't understand, you know, from looking at the wreckage, they couldn't understand how they walked away from that. Why did they walk away from that? You know, they were 10 and 11 years old. So they had a lot of questions. And I had a lot of questions. But one thing I learned in this whole ordeal is I have a lot of questions for God, but I don't question God. And it's okay to have a lot of questions for God, but he is the all-knowing. But God, how he blessed all this was, and since then I have retired from the Air Force and written my autobiography titled Miracles in Action, Turning Pain into Power and Grief into Peace. And it's titled that because even though Maurice and Roger died instantly, God allowed both of them to write and leave behind these incredible goodbye letters. Now, Maurice, he was in the third grade, and he wrote his letter about a month before the car crash. And he ran in the house that afternoon from school and shouted, Mommy, Daddy, Daddy, I wrote your letter. I said, what do you mean you wrote us a letter? Where are you going? He looked at me and said, nowhere, Mommy, I just love you. I mean, I was like, oh, whatever he wants, he can have, right? And the three of us sat at the foot of my husband and Maurice and I, we sat at the foot of my bed and we read his letter aloud. And his letter, he wrote 2 pages at school, and it just goes on to say he not only expressed that he loved us, he explained why he loved us. And in the end of both pages, he said bye-bye. And he said stuff like, I love you because you made me. You taught me math and you taught me how to read a book. You are very cool to me. I'm happy to be here with you and Dad. You taught me a lot of stuff at home. I mean, just over and over again, you know, he said, You and Dad been together for 17, going on 18 years. That is good to me. I am happy that you two are together. And twice he said together. He wrote the word togetherness, because you know the Holy Spirit. Maurice had to really surrender for the Holy Spirit to use him, and because he had never written us a letter before, never. Wow. And I always say, if Maurice had wrote this letter, it would have been, "Thank you for the yo-yo. Can I get a new one?" You know, it would have been like his Christmas list. You know, what can I have? But he did not ask for one thing. He said, "Thank you for teaching me how to read a book. Thank you for teaching me how to write a book report. Thank you for teaching me math." I mean, and those are kind of things that, when you sit with your child one-on-one, that quality time. But when you buy them a yo-yo and a bicycle, you know, they're down the street playing with their friends. But, mm-hmm. you know, for an 8-year-old boy to sit down and write such a sincere, dear letter, I know it was written by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit had him write the word together twice, I think because so many couples separate and divorce after the death of a child, let alone children. And the Holy Spirit is like, listen, you were together before he was born, and you need to stay together after he passed. And right. and because the statistics are very high on the divorce rate after death, and that's just how the Holy Spirit talks to me. And at the end of both pages, he said, bye-bye. And when we were reading this letter, my husband, he just had these huge tears coming down. And I looked at him, and he got up to get a tissue. And I was standing there talking to Maurice, and I said, "Maurice, do you know what this is?" And he said, "It's a letter, Mommy." And I said, "Maurice, this is a love letter. Thank you so much for writing down your feelings." And I said, "I love you too. And I'm going to buy 2 frames, and I'm going to frame your letter." And he said, wait a minute, Mommy. Buy 3 frames, because I'm going to write you another one." And Maurice ran to his room, came back about 10 minutes later with the second letter, and the Holy Spirit must have said, "Your mama going to need some more help." And so he was obedient, and he went back and wrote that second letter. And the Holy Spirit was so right, because in that second letter was a sentence that he wrote, and this sentence really helped me on that plane ride home, because, you know, I could have totally tripped, questioning everything. Why wasn't I home? You know, because as mothers, right. we coulda, shoulda, and woulda. You know, things would have been so different if we would have been home. And truth be told, I could have been in the truck. Mm-hmm. And that's why I share, you know, you are always in your right place. Always. And but in his second letter, he wrote a sentence. He says, "If I got to choose a mom, I would choose you." Now, that sentence was so special to me because the Holy Spirit knows everybody from the beginning to the end of time. Mm-hmm. And with all of my faults, he still would have chosen me to be Maurice's mother and let me know that all was in God's divine order. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard pill to swallow, and I like to share with the ladies or the parents on this who's listening that if you had a child that passed away, you always hear that phrase, you know, the death of a child is the worst thing that ever happened to you. And I like to show it people, the death of a child is the worst thing that happened to you if you allow it to be. If you allow it to be, then it will be. And we also hear that, "Oh, I'm so sorry, your child died out of order." Well, if everything is in God's divine order, then that cannot be possible. Yeah. And when I read the Bible in Genesis, Adam and Eve, the first couple, the first person who died was their son. So who set the order? So your child did not die out of order. And Mother Mary, she buried her son, Jesus. So you can't get any more divine than that to walk this earth than Jesus.
Right.
So that is not true. Your child did not die out of order. So don't carry that guilt and don't believe that phrase that your child died out of order, because that is not true. And with when I was home, I was standing in my kitchen, and you know the week after somebody passed, your house just filled, I call the 4 F's, friends, family, food, and flowers.
Yeah,
but my
yeah.
house was filled with so many people, and I mean half the people I didn't even know, because my children, their classmates and their parents and their siblings and my neighbor and my family, and I stood in my kitchen and I just prayed, and I said, "Dear God, thank you so much for Maurice's letter. It is truly the reason I can stand here right now. but I know you are a God of completeness. I need to know that Roger was also at peace. I need to know that he was also visited by the Holy Spirit. And God placed one word on my spirit, and God said, search. And I said, search? And I didn't know what search. So Valerie, I started praying some more because I was searching for some more clues. I didn't know what that meant, search. And my house was filled with so many people that when I first started to look around, they was like, you know, when everybody's trying to be so helpful. You know, Angela, do you want some water? Do you want some, you know, juice? Do you want some soda? Do you want, you want to go to sleep? You want to lay down? You know, people. And I just wanted some peace so that I could search. But it was so many people in my house downstairs that I couldn't look under the cushions. So I went upstairs to my son's bedroom, and I started going through their books on the shelf. I started going through their clothes in the closet. I flipped the mattress over, and when I did that, I saw my cousin off my shoulder. You know that cousin who just over-exaggerates everything? And she was like, Angela, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I looked at her like, I don't know. And she said, oh, don't worry about it. She said, I would have went crazy when they told me in Japan about myself. Are you doing okay? And she said, well, what are you looking for? And when I said, I don't know again, she was like, oh, no, something is wrong. She said, well, why don't I just call 911 and those people with the white straitjackets, they can come help you find it.
Wow.
And I said, I'm okay. I just need some peace. I just need some space. And she said, okay, you know, but I'm watching you. Don't get it twisted. I'm watching you. And I said, okay, just give me some space. And I searched my house for over 3 hours that afternoon and didn't find a thing. But only as God can create it, only as God can orchestrate it, that very night was open house at school. And my girls, they needed some normalcy in their life. And their friends on the block was going to open house. So I said, you know what? We're going to go to open house as well. I left a house full of people, went to open house. Now, all four of my children were in the same elementary school, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade.
Okay.
We went to Angela and Angelica's class, and when we got there, their classmates just wrote these love letters and condolence and cards to our family. I mean, just so sweet. They just poured their hearts out. It took me months to just emotionally read all those cards. Mm-hmm. And then I left their classroom, and I went to Maurice's third grade class. And when I walked into his class, this hush just came over the room because the parents didn't know what to say to me. And you know what? I really didn't know what to say to them. However, the children just circled around me because they wanted to share with me how much they missed and loved their friend, Maurice. And we left Maurice's classroom, and we went to Roger's second grade class. And I spoke to Mrs. Blassie for a little bit, and I said, well, you know, all like all the other parents, I said, well, what did Roger do for open house? Now, 2 weeks before the car crash, Mrs. Blassie had given all her students all kind of arts and craft supplies and simply said, do something for open house. Your parents are coming.
Angela? Oh, Angela's call dropped.
I think we lost her. I think her.
Yes, her call dropped. But until she gets back on here, I'm telling you, I'm just like quiet, can't say anything. I've heard her story several times before, and every time I hear it, it's like I'm hearing it for the very first time. It's an emotional thing because, you know, you put yourself in that situation, especially when you have children of your own, how to turn that pain into power and the grief into peace. And when she joins us back, I can't wait to hear how she was able to do that, allow that to come forth, allow that to happen, because I mean, words can't express or even, I couldn't even imagine. I have friends that have lost their children. Matter of fact, my sister, two of my sisters lost their firstborn sons And on one of my sisters, it was her only child. And the grief, the pain, it is just almost unspeakable, unbearable. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do in situations like that. But, you know, I definitely want to, when she chimes back in, we want to have her conclude with her testimony, with her story.
Yeah. And then, you know, to hear, you know, they were twins. That's, you know, how often you hear both twins dying together. It's like, you know, the Lord had a chance. They were twins. Two boys, 8 years old. Wow.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that, well, hopefully she'll join back in. I kept hearing the beep, so her phone died is what happened.
Yeah, I think she probably just is going to plug it in.
But, you know, as I was saying that, you know, we see individuals and we wonder, okay, how did this come about? How did they get the strength, the resiliency to come forth? How did they, you know, transition from that pain, from that disappointment, from that grief? And it's, you know, the Holy Spirit, God. She kept referencing God, the Lord, because without him, you can't do anything. Only he can heal the wounded heart and a broken spirit. You know, people suffer all types of losses, you know, children, you know, spouses. Even a divorce is like a death. It's a wound that, you know, it's stays open because that individual you continue to see on a daily basis, and that hurt, that pain keeps coming around fresh until you're able to be able to have the resiliency to say, I'm not going to allow this to take dominion over my life. I'm going to stand in the power that God gave me. But greater and more so is we have to know that God is who he says he is and that he makes no mistakes. We wonder why people have illnesses and they're taken away from us. And, you know, why, you know. But then you see people that live, you know, with no regard for God at all, and they go on and they're okay, they get sick and they get well, they get sick, they get well, and you say, wonder why they're still here. It's because God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and that there are individuals that are called to for a great work. You know, I've always talked about assignments and how God always has an assignment for our lives. And when we're not in alignment with that assignment that God has for us, those individuals are still standing, waiting on the sidelines, waiting for us to manifest ourselves, waiting for us to come forth and pass that baton, waiting for us to stand up in our greatness and our power. Because, as I said, if we don't stand up in our power, they're unable to. So we have to be conscious, not for our own selves, but for those that God has assigned with us. I have caller 3025. You had a question, a comment.
Good evening, ladies. This is Eloise. How are you doing?
Good evening, Eloise.
Good evening.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. What a timely, timely message tonight. I just lost my nephew, and my sister-in-law is so consumed with grief. So I'm going to have her listen to this call. Did Angela write a book?
Yes. You can go to Angela's website, miraclesinaction.com. Miraclesinaction.com. And you can also email her at miraclesinaction@yahoo.com.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This is so timely.
Great. Thank you so much, Eloise. I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Val.
Okay.
You know, I'm
okay,
listening.
Okay, she's just coming back on. Yes.
She's coming back, Val. Okay.
Okay. What were you saying, Shirley?
I was just saying that, you know, I'm listening to, you know, the strength that God gave her to sustain all the impact of everything that went on, the death of her children, her being out of the country, and that long flight home. And like she said, she could have easily just lost it all. But when I hear her speak, she speaks of the love and the peace that he placed in her heart and in her mind. Because, you know, the mind can go there and you can lose it. But he kept her in a state of peace, that he had her even in her darkest moment of losing her children.
Absolutely.
And
Angela,
that
you there?
Exercise.
Yes, I am here. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was dropped off. I was continuing to share my testimony.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, where is he? What were you continue on, Shirley?
Yes, I was, you know, Angela, I was just speaking to Val about how in that moment of darkness that you,
yes.
you know, finding out about your children and being out of the country and getting on a long plane ride home, how God kept you in a state of peace, your mind and your heart, that you were
yes.
able to take that journey, but you held on to the peace that he gave you. That is an awesome statement. That's an awesome testimony about the love that God has for us.
It really does. And, you know, and a lot of people says, wow, Angela, Japan, that was the worst place you could have been. But, you know, when the police came to the scene, they saw a father and four children, and they ran up, and my daughter, Angela, she was the only one conscious enough to speak. And they said, where's your mother? Where's your mother? And she looked at the officer dazed and said, my mother's in Japan. Well, they didn't believe a word she said, and they came to my home. And praise God I wasn't home because, you know, we've all seen that scene in the movies where the police come to your home and just knowing that your family is not in the house, you would start to panic.
Right, right.
And so that's what I would have done. And I would have just bolted out of that door and I would not have heard God's voice. And by being in Japan, I had no choice but to be still and know that God is God. Because God says wherever and whenever there's a crisis, Christ is. And
wow.
He also says to be still and know that I am God. And I wouldn't have been still if I was home. I would have ran. And so God had to put me on the other side of the world for me to be still in order to hear his voice. And so, and that's why I was in Japan, because I wouldn't have had that instantaneous peace. I wouldn't have heard God's voice if I was home. And
you were on assignment when you were there, because that's why God had you strategically there. But, you know, you left off when you went to your second son's classroom and the call dropped. You were about to tell about that experience because you were still looking for an answer for a sign from him.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is really amazing. I went to Roger's second grade class, and 2 weeks before the car crash, she had given all her second graders all kind of arts and crafts supplies and simply said, do something for open house. Your parents are coming, with no special instructions. Well, Roger had cut out the shape of a house, and he put closed doors. So when the teacher had 25, 30 students, she did not open it up, and I truly believe, instructed by God, she just stapled it to the wall. And so I went to the wall, and I took it down. I opened the doors, and it said, I have a big backyard and a big house. And I said, wait a minute, stop right there, because we physically have the smallest backyard on the block. But then I had to remember, Roger was in transition mode. He's referring to his heavenly home, where he has a big backyard and a big house. And then on the right-hand side of that home description, he cut out a tombstone. And on this tombstone, he wrote three powerful words. He wrote, dead men joy. Now, this
wow.
is an eight-year-old little boy. You hear me? This is an eight-year-old little boy. He used the word men. But men is the plural noun for all of us. But then the Holy Spirit had him personalize it by drawing a picture of himself beneath those words. And then on the left-hand side of that home description, he cut out a second tombstone. And on that one, he wrote three powerful words. He wrote, "Dead men jams," and drew a picture of his brother Maurice, because Maurice was always dancing, jamming around the house. And I'm telling you, I almost fell to my knees as I praised God for being so good to me. And I repeated over and over again, "Dead men joy, dead men jams." And I praise God because I had just prayed hours earlier that day, "God, I need to know that Roger was also at peace." And this is what God gave me that night. And that's why I like to tell people to ask God for whatever you perceive to be the impossible, because all things are possible through Christ Jesus. I asked for something, some peace from a dead person, and this is what God gave me. And I'm telling you, and I just marveled in God's many miracles in action, because Maurice didn't know about Roger's letter. Roger didn't know about Maurice's letter. They individually listened to the Holy Spirit and obeyed. Each letter answers specific questions that I would have wondered about for the rest of my life, and they answered those. And I just said, praise God. And in that second grade classroom, I experienced that peace that surpassed and truly continues to surpass all of my understanding as I accepted the future that my sons are now and forever joyfully jamming with Jesus. And I'm telling you, and what happened was, while I was writing the memorial program, that's when God revealed to me, "Angela, those letters are written to soothe your soul, but more importantly, to share." And I just said, "Oh, no, God." And that's when that assignment came up, because we all have an assignment. I said, "God, I'm not an author. I'm not a speaker, and I'm definitely not a public speaker. Please don't ask me to do that." And because it was hard enough just living this, now you want me to get up in front of people and share this testimony? And I'm telling you, for 5 months I walked in disobedience because I could not wrap my brain around what God wanted me to do. But in that 5 months, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was uncomfortable in my own skin. You know when God tells you to do something and you don't do it?
Right.
And I was trying to negotiate another assignment. But God, you know, he was not budging. And finally, 5 months later, I got on the computer and I just started writing. I didn't know how the words I was inputting into the computer, I didn't know how it was going to end up in book form. But my prayer was, "God, I need you to bring people into my life to help me take your testimony where you have designed it to go." And even still today, I wake up, I say, "God, this is your business. I'm your willing vessel, but I need you to handle your business." And that's how I operate. So when people accept miracles in action, they accept miracles in action. When they don't want me to speak, or they don't want, you know, whatever, then I don't take it personally, because this is God's business. And that's how I can get through things, because it's too heavy for me to hold this load all by myself. And I can't do it. I don't have that much strength. I need Jesus to be here with me every day.
Yes, absolutely. While you, when the call at the dropped, I was talking and sharing with the listeners how two of my sisters at the same time one of my sisters lost her only child, which was a boy, and my other sister lost her firstborn, which was a boy, and there was another young man in the car. So there were three of them, and they were killed by 18-wheeler.
Wow.
And, you know, it's been 3 years, and I'm telling you, it's just like yesterday for them. And I went back to South Carolina last month for a wedding, and the emotions, the depressions, and all is still there, because the questions of why? And, you know, and I also shared that, you know, only Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, only he can heal a broken heart and a wounded spirit.
Right.
And
right.
I'm not speaking from experience, because I thank God that I've never had to go through that. But I've suffered loss, and it was a painful loss, you know, with a loved one, with relatives, even with my nephews. The fact that, you know, two at one time, it was, like, devastating because they were like my babies.
Right.
But even in that, I had to do as you. I had to call on a power higher than my own.
Right.
And we have to move on and also forgive. Forgiveness is a key. Maybe you can elaborate on that, because one of the things you said earlier on the show was that as a mother, you start thinking about woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate some more on that?
And I did. I said woulda, coulda, shoulda. But then what happened was, and this is how good God is. I recalled that second letter that Maurice wrote. In that letter, he wrote, "If I got to choose a mom, I would choose you." And that sentence eliminated all of the guilt I could have embraced, because that let me know I was in my right place. However, my husband experienced another situation. He had no memory of the car crash, but he would literally cry, I'm getting emotional, and say, "Baby, what if I just went another direction? What if I had just left 5 minutes later? Our sons would still be here." You know, as one of the drivers, he was extremely felt that guilt. And the situation is, a car cut us off, and that car left never to be seen again. And
wow.
But that didn't eliminate the guilt that he felt as just being a driver. And I had to just read to him over and over and over again these letters that our sons wrote. And I says, and I just kept saying, "Sari, these letters were written prior to the car crash. I truly believe that they were going to die that day, regardless if you had left 5 minutes later. Because I don't have any facts, but I believe that our death date is written in stone before we are born."
Mm-hmm.
And only God knows that day, and only God knows the reason why it happens. But he gives us the Holy Spirit as our comforter and our peace to get through these days. And God knows his heart, because even when Lazarus died, even Jesus knew where Lazarus was. Jesus knew that he was okay, but Jesus still wept because of the pain that we feel on this side. So God is aware that of the hurt that we feel when our loved ones go home. And so hopefully that your sister and everybody else who's dealing with the loss of a loved one, not loss, because we know where our loved ones are, but the transition of our loved ones, hopefully they can rely, depend, trust in the Holy Spirit to give them that peace. And I always share that death is inevitable, but misery is optional.
Mm.
You know, the death of your loved ones, especially death of your child, doesn't have to be the worst thing that ever happened to you if you don't allow it to be. You know, you can trip over your shoe, or if you blow that up into a mountain and talk about that every day and over exaggerate it, then that could be the worst thing that happened to you. It starts with your mind.
Mm.
So, you know, hopefully your sister gets some peace. And I know, even though I have peace, because people ask me all the time, "Well, Angela, do you have closure?" And I said, you know what, seriously, I don't have closure. I will have closure when I see my sons again, but I do have peace on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So when I can sit down and talk to my son and say, what were you thinking about when you cut out that little tombstone? What were you thinking about when you wrote bye-bye in the all three pages? When I can have those conversations, you know, then I'll have closure, I think. But right now, praise God, I do have peace. And I always tell God, well, people would never know my sons died just by looking at me, because I told God, I said, God, I don't want people to... Well, you know, you've seen people, you don't know what they've been through, but just looking at them, you know they're going through something. I said, God, when people see me, when I walk in the room, I don't want them to know just because I walked in the room that my sons passed away. I only want them to know that if they, you know, heard my testimony, read my book, or somebody told them, but not just from looking at me. I want them to see your grace on my face. And because, you know, I'm sitting here and saying God is all God, then I don't need to look like, you know, I'm toe up from the floor up. I need to represent God. And God, you know, you know, we're the image and likeness of God, so we need to be representing him and looking, you know, like we are a child of God, not like we, you know, we too through. So, but that's hard. But it took me a minute, you know, for my husband to get to that point. And people can say, well, Angela, you know, how could you forgive him? Well, I didn't have to forgive my husband because I did not blame my husband. Mm-hmm. But my husband, he finally had to let it go and just forgive himself. But the letters truly, truly held. God knew those letters were going to mean the world to us. And so I'm forever indebted for God for helping those letters. Now, I know a lot of people tell me, well, Angela, you know, we didn't get letters. And I say, you know what? You may not have received a letter from your loved one. However, God left all of us a letter called the Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And in God's love letter to us, he tells us if we trust it, believe in it, rely on it, then we will have everlasting life with him. So read that Bible, and again, hopefully you can get some peace through God's words.
Well, you know, you said that Roger drew a picture and it had tombstones on it.
Yes.
Now, and this was 2 weeks prior to the accident. I've often said that, you know, people when they're in transition, when they have a relationship with God, when they're his, that they know when they're going to transition out. They may not know either because the Word of God says no man knows the hour nor the day.
Right.
But you know that something, you get a feeling, just like I know with me, sometimes I can pick up when something is wrong, something is out of sync. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, gives me like kind of a warning, and I just start praying.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, thinking, you know, because Roger wrote that, and, you know, you didn't see, you didn't get a chance to get the letter, but you got the drawing, and it said, and it had the tombstone with him and his brother on it.
So exactly.
It was prophetically where he had seen or knew something because the Holy Spirit had already shown him that a transition was taking place, even though he didn't understand it in his infancy.
Right, and I believe, too, that the teacher instructed by God did not open it up because he was clearly talking about death. She would probably have called child protection. And I would have sat down with Roger, and I would have said in my calmest voice, what do you mean, Dead Men Joy? What do you mean, Dead Men Jams? And I truly believe that he had totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit. He might not even know what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so God never put him in that situation to have to explain these tombstones.
Right.
His death explained everything. You know, I that's why I say, you know, I'll have closure when I can sit down and talk to him and say, you know, what was consciously going through your head when you was cutting out these little tombstones with scissors? What was going through? And, you know, he described heaven. He says, I have a big backyard and a big house. And I was like, wow. So he had a glimpse, you know,
yeah.
Subconsciously. The Holy Spirit had prepared him. And
yes.
I believe that with all of my heart. And that's
yes.
why I have so much peace now. And even now when I try to get sad, when I get sad, I say, wait a minute. Roger told me Dead Men Joy. He told me Dead Men Jam. They are joyfully jamming with Jesus. So what am I sad for? You know, because I miss them physically, but they're okay. And I have to read these letters and minister to myself as well. When I'm sharing this testimony, I'm ministering to myself and letting myself know again that, you know, we're always in the right place and God is good. And you know, and when we say God is good all the time and all the time God is good, well, that's just not when you're having a great day.
Right.
That is a statement, not a question. That's on your darkest day, but I always say you have to search for your miracle. Either you can search for your miracle or you can search for your misery. The option is yours.
Now, that in itself is a powerful statement. And, you know, it's hard, it's rough, but, you know, like I said, I've known you a few years, And every time I hear your story, it's like I'm hearing it for the first time, and I get more information, and it gives me some peace because I'm reflecting. You know, the only thing I have to reflect in, you know, an experience is the death of my nephews because it was sudden. But one of my nephews, well, actually both of them, when I talk to family members, like their last days, they were doing things differently. Mm. And they were acting, especially my sister that lost her only child, he was acting like he was going somewhere and not coming back.
Really?
Yes.
How old were they?
18 and 19.
Okay, yeah.
18 and 19. And as a matter of fact, one of them had called me a couple of weeks prior to that, and he was like, "Aunt Val, I'm coming to Florida to live with you. I just need to get away from here. I just need to get away." And I was like, "Okay, you know, you can always come to Auntie." And that was my last conversation with him, was him saying he was coming to me. Because
wow.
He just needed to get away. So, you know, the uncomfortableness of where they were and wanting something more, but coming to me wasn't going to heal that quench, because what he was actually looking for and longing for was the Holy Spirit.
Wow. And he got it.
Mm-hmm.
See, we never know, you know, we never know where the individual person walk is, what they ask God for. And that's why people say when they're sick and you praying for their healing, they say, "Wait a minute, I thought you loved me. I'm praying to go home to Jesus. Don't pray for me."
Right.
You know, be careful what you pray for, because that person, they might be saying, you know, secretly or privately or in their prayers, because God knows the desires of your heart. You know, they might be praying to come home. And we here on earth don't understand that. You're like, "What do you mean, leave me?" So, you know, and that's another question that will get answered, you know, when we pass and we can have those conversations again with our loved ones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I truly believe, like you said, that before you pass, the Holy Spirit lets you know on some level, some unconscious level, that you're transitioning. And because I'll hear stories all the time how people tie up loose ends, they go visit people they haven't seen in years, they make phone calls, they forgive people that, you know, they've been mad at for 10 years, and they just tie up a lot of loose ends right before they pass away.
Mm-hmm.
I hear those stories all the time.
Well, you know, that's why we have to live life like we mean it, living on purpose. I'm going to open up the lines if anyone has any questions or comments for Ms. Angela Alexander. Callers, if you're on the line and you have any questions for Angela, you can press 1 and I will cue you in. I gave out your information earlier, Angela, how they could reach you, your website and stuff, but if you'd be so kind to share it with them again, I appreciate that.
Yes, my website is miraclesinaction.com, and that's MIRACLESINACTION, miraclesinaction.com. Yes.
Thank you so much for that. So what's the next step for you?
You know, actually, my book is being turned into a movie.
Oh.
So that is the next big step for me. And I'm
well,
so excited. The movie, the movie is titled At Ease. And At Ease, of course, is a military word. And I like it, you know, because when in the midst of my storm, I was in Japan on military duty, where God instantly placed me at ease in his amazing peace.
Wow.
And At Ease is, isn't that wonderful? And Ease is also a strong Christian word, so it's a double meaning. It's a military word and it's a Christian word, because we need to be at ease so we can receive God's peace and so we can hear his voice. Because if we're running all crazy and, you know, and too much distraction, well, it's hard to hear God's voice when it's crazy, you know, because I could have came home, you know, with all the drama playing the hysterical mama, but God gave me another purpose. He says, no, we're not doing that, because people were following my lead when I came home, so I need to be calm, cool, and collective so that people around me could be that as well. And so, yes, I'm excited about the movie. We're at the very, very, very beginning stages of fundraising and building our website and all that stuff. So I'll let you know about, more about that as time passes. And you can, to stay up on that, you can friend me on Facebook and Angela Taze Alexander. There's a lot of Angela Alexander, so you have to put my middle, my maiden name in there, which is Taze, Angela Taze Alexander, T as in Tom, T-A-Y-E-S, and you can follow me on Facebook and keep up with the making of Miracles in Action titled At Ease. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I'm excited for you because, you know, your message is phenomenal, and we have about 5 minutes, and I would like for you, for those that are listening, give them some steps on turning that grief into peace, some action steps that they can take to becoming unstuck, because a lot of people get stuck in their lives over tragedies. Do you have any points that you can give them?
You know what really, really ministers to me? On days when I didn't want to hear, when nobody couldn't tell me nothing, when I didn't want to hear nothing from nobody, and on days when my eyes were too watery to read the Bible, I mean, I would drench the Bible in my tears. I'd wake up to tear-stained pillows, and I could not read, and I could not, nobody could tell me nothing. What ministered to me is praise and worship. I could put on a praise and worship song, and that was healing to my soul. And I'm telling you, it was something about that just, So everybody has different things that helps them in the midst of their storm, but that's what I did physically to help me through my storm. And there's praise and worship music from country to hip hop to, you know, whatever that you can adhere to and minister to you. Gravitate to that if that's comforting to you. That's what really helped me. It's some good old praise and worship music, and just let that seep into my soul. And one thing I learned through that, Patti LaBelle is not even, this is not even a spiritual song, but it ministered to me. She sings a song called Love Never Dies.
Hmm.
Love Never Dies. Now, and I listen to that all the time. Even today I listen to that, and what I know, and that's what really helped me, because my children physically are gone, but I know for sure that love never dies. And in the middle of that song, she stops and she really preaches in the middle of that song. So if anybody's hurting and like Patti LaBelle, get that song and just let it just seep into your soul. That's what really helped me physically on those days when I could not read the Bible because my eyes were just too watery.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And also I'd like to add, journal. Start writing down what you're feeling, what you're thinking, you know, your emotions or things, because a lot of times you can't speak it, but you can write how you feel. And that's a good therapy for doing that, for transitioning, is because once you get it out of your head onto the paper, it helps lighten that load. And also,
right, and that's what really helped me too when I was writing my book. That helped, you know, writing down everything. It was good, great therapy.
And also communication, you know, find that one person that you could just talk to. You know, sometimes you don't need anyone to give you any feedback, give you any comment. Just allow you to just be. You know, go for a walk in the park with the individual. Just be there. And, you know, just allow yourself to escape, but have someone there that you trust and that you know loves you and will allow you to be. Because a lot of times people are fighting with other people's opinion of who they are and how they should be acting. Because I heard when you were saying that when you were going through the house looking for a sign from Roger, your cousin was like, you know, I could call, are you all right? I could call somebody with a straitjacket to come pick you up. Well, you really didn't need it. You just needed somebody just to be there and say, I'm here if you need me. So that would also help, too. You know, somebody that you love, just don't shut down, shut people out of your life. Because, you know, people are trying to help, and you don't always know what to say to someone that is grieving, but just be there for those of you that are listening.
Amen.
Any other comments, Angela? Angela? Okay, I think she has lost her. I think Angela is gone again. Well, those of you that would like to connect with Angela, go visit her website, miraclesinaction.com. Miraclesinaction.com. And also you can email her at miraclesinaction.com@yahoo.com.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, Angela, I can hear you.
Okay. I don't know why I keep moving on. Yeah, miraclesinaction@yahoo.com is my email address. miraclesinaction@yahoo.com is my email address. So it was so wonderful to be on the line with you today and to share this amazing testimony.
Yes, you are amazing. And I see you have grown as a speaker because I remember us in the workshops and trying to be able to formulate and tell your story without having everyone fall apart.
Yes, even myself.
yes. So it, because it was hard for me to talk about my domestic abuse without, you know, internalizing it and having it come out and stuff. So, you know, the power of telling your story where it brings forth healing and courage to those is a powerful thing, and I do salute you in the work you're doing. And I, again, listeners, I encourage you to go to Angela's website, and don't just go there and look around like you do my website. Buy something.
Buy something. I know, support me, because we're all
something
back into the ministry.
Right, because this is ministry. What I do is ministry. What Angela does is ministry. What Shirley does is ministry. This is what we do full time. We empower individuals, inspire individuals to tap into their greatness, to move and follow and walk in their divine purpose. So this is ministry. She has several products available. Peruse through her site and support her so that she can continue this work, because there's a lot of people that are broken and need to hear her. I've gotten texts and emails already from people that said, I needed this. So I thank you so much for reaching out to me, Angela, and saying, can I be on your show?
Thank you. And I was like the audience, you know, if you know a church, a conference, a retreat, or a book club that would like to hear this absolutely fascinating supernatural testimony from the living God we serve, then I am more excited to come out and share. Even though I live in Southern California, I'll come out and share. Okay.
Amen. Thank you so much, Angela.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And again, I want to invite you all that are listening to join me next Tuesday. And if you missed the show and didn't get it in its entirety and you know someone that's going through a transition, direct them to Soul Topics, Hot Topics from the Soul. You can play it. You can demand it at the show on demand at any time. And also visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and peruse through the pages and buy something to support this work so that I can stay on the air and so I can go out at the conferences and do shows to encourage and inspire those that are around me. Everyone, have a good night. Angela, thank you again. Shirley, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, Angela. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shirley. Good night, Valerie.
Yes, y'all have a powerful week. Peace and blessings.
Bye-bye.
Good night.